This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Oh, sookie, looky are we. We have landed right in the hornet's nest, and it couldn't work out any better. Here's a Maryland student call last night. Tyler Lockheed with the sounder. Terps getting it done.
All right, here we go. 3.7 seconds left. Maryland has not made a shot in the last 227. If they don't make one here, their season is over. Gillespie to inbounds. He finds Queen. Queen turns, puts it up at the buzzer, and in! Maryland is headed to the Sweet 16 for the second time in 22 years. It's the freshman, Derek Queen. He's a Maryland hero.
And that young man is from Baltimore. I guess you could hear it in his voice. It is interesting. It brings back so many great memories. And we thought that it was only fitting. And Big Ben, welcome to the broadcast again. Ben Strobert, my man who is a hoops guy. He plays full-time on the microphone as well. And what a better opening to bring in a former Terrapin legend, a man from DeMatha High School who understands what it was like to be an ACC champion, a man who is a NBA champion, a guy who is spirited and understands it. So Stag joins us from the West Coast right now. Adrian Branch, welcome home.
Hey, the DOC, how you doing? How you doing? I'm smiling from ear to ear on that sound clip.
Got to bring back a lot of memories, man. Talk us through it. You're a pro, and you've been on both sides of the floor and the microphone. Is what you saw with, I mean, you guys had some swag, but the Crab Five right now, this is real.
Yeah, I'm loving every bit of it from A to Z. First of all, Kevin Willard and his coaching staff, I'm so proud of my beloved Terps because, as you know, Doc, the arms race, man, you get a whole new crew every year because of the NIL. So I'm saying to my Terps, love it, totally live in the moment because their front line is going to be gone. Reese is going to be gone. Queen, who Jalen Rose said the most important chess piece on the board is the Queen, and that was so fitting. So I say to our beloved Terps, ride this one because we have no idea what it'll look like next year.
No, but right now, man, we're just so focused on this and the Gators, and you're one of the few human beings walking the planet that has been through this, been there, done it, been a part of the atmosphere. You understand what it means here in this region, and to have this group now come together and maybe thin, but you know what? You guys be ballers. That's what ballers want. You want time. And you look at it, and they got three guys who put in 30 minutes yesterday or so, but that's who they are. And so what do you see? What encourages you most about this unit?
Well, when they're clicking, they don't have a margin of error. Charles Barkley alluded to that in the preliminary show. They don't have a margin of error. They are truly the Crab Five, and I'm digging that one. Ride it hard. Ride the Crab Five. But when they're clicking, they have some nice pieces. One, you've got a pro, an undeniable pro in Queen. He's like a Zach Randolph for 22 feet. And then he can get his own shot. You can't speed him up. He's got that old junkyard school dog. Then Reese, and Doc, let's not forget, Reese hit some huge free throws, two free throws yes. in the money. And he has improved over 70%. And then I know Rodney Rice Sr. is smiling from ear to ear. So if Rodney, you are hearing this one, I am so proud of you. Nephew, little street term right there, nephew is on a roll. Rodney Rice wanted to play back in Georgetown. He went to Boston College, and then Richmond was a big-time player. But, Rodney, I got to say, you ain't had the handle little Rodney has. And so I'm so proud of all of them, Doc, just smiling from ear to ear.
Talking with Adrian Branch here following the Terps' win yesterday over Colorado State advancing the Sweet 16. Queen basically says to Willard there, in the timeout, give me the basketball. I'm going to win us this game. Have you ever seen such an unparalleled amount of confidence from a freshman who demanded the basketball to take the final shot in a March Madness game?
Living in the moment, again, Ben, that's a good call. That's what you want from your guys. Now, he's a top 10, top 15 pick. That's what you want from your pros. You want them to be the best player on the court. It slowed down for him. Are you kidding me? He's going away from his shooting hand and kisses it off the glass. That was a good defensive player. The guy was up there right there in his shooting pocket, and that young guy hit. Now, we were due for one, too. Now, we lost a heartbreaker to Michigan State at home, lost one to Michigan coast to coast, and then Northwestern on really some clown stuff. So like Coach Willard said, we were due for one, and I'm so happy we got it.
That would have been five in a row. And you mentioned how tough that shot was. I think it almost got lost in the moment for me especially. I was watching with all my friends back in College Park, and I went back and watched it maybe 400 times now because it's one of the most incredible moments of my young life. That shot was so unbelievably skillful. And it just reminds me of what Tony Massenberg said a couple days ago about how the NBA game is evolving to be more about skill than athleticism. Do you kind of see that kind of that playing out for Queen with his game translating to the next level?
Oh, yeah. Well, one, he's a legit 6'10". He's a legit 250 pounds. He has some wiggle, meaning he can get his shot. He can get his shot off the dribble. He can get it off the post up. And when you do this as a pro means this is what you do all the time. You don't have to go to class. You don't have to be distracted by anything. That three-point shot is really going to expand. So this young man has an opportunity to play 10 or 15 years because he has a package. Think about this. The last McDonald's All-American that's a pro is Jalen Smith, and it's no knock on Jalen, and I'm so proud of him running off a nice career. But Jalen didn't have all the wiggle that this young guy, Queen, has.
To be in a huddle, and whether it's Morgan, whether it's Lefty, whether it's Gary, and the coach wants it. Have you had that happen in your career?
Well, I'll say this one. And in high school, no, we didn't have it. In college, Lefty, it was either going to go to myself in the ancient days, myself or Lynn Bias. Yeah. But when he says that one and the young fella says, give me the ball. Yeah. Now, with the Lakers, we knew where it was going. It was going to Kareem on the sky hook on the block, or Magic was going to shoot a little floater inside the lane. But when he asks his guys out of the Crab Five, who wants it? And your best player says, I want it. I say again, I'm going to sound like a broken record, fellas. Enjoy it, enjoy it, enjoy it. What would you guys say in the open? It's been 22 years or something significant since 2016, but it's almost 22 years since we've been to the Sweet 16. Wow, that was a long time.
It has. Game NIL. What, from the outside looking in, the impact of the NIL, the movement, all these things that are happening, the game obviously will never be the same, and I don't think that's that bad.
Wow, that was good. I think Jay Will from ESPN had a great point. He said right now, as it is today, it is we won't see the parity with the mid-majors now because all of a sudden, like they said, the McNeese State, the Drakes, they'll come and poach them. You got a top player, and say you're getting $20,000 at that school, which their budget can allow, but then you go to a Kansas and get $2 million. You can't help but to go. So right now, Doc, to your statement, it's the wild, wild west. And hopefully the water level will settle down where they'll get a little more parity. But right now, the big guys, it's all chalk, as they said. The big guys are eating the little guys right now.
And before we let you go, you're just looking ahead right now. And people, I think the consensus, the Gators, ballers, your matchup, just looking from the outside in.
Well, I'm so fired up. We cannot play bad and win, but it's not who you play, it's when you play them. And right now, the Terps are on fire. Their confidence is growing, and the Terp fans, once they get behind something, the magic can happen. The easier pick is Florida and even Duke. Duke with Cooper Flagg. Cooper Flagg does not have to play well, and they're still the number one team in the nation. So it is obvious that these two teams are the teams to beat. I'm surprised St. John's. I know the talking point was Rick Pitino sat his player of the year down for 4 minutes, maybe got into his feelings. Rick, what happened to you, baby? What happened? But I'm on the bandwagon with our beloved Terps. I'm so proud of our community, our state, and these young guys. It's like lightning in a bottle. All of a sudden, and it feels good.
Real quick, Adrian, they get out-rebounded by 10 yesterday, gave up 13 offensive rebounds. Why are they struggling on the glass a little bit?
Well, you know what, Ben? That's honest. Sometimes that's a misnomer. One, that was a smaller team. And I know what a lot of times the 3-point shot is equalizer.
The long rebound.
To the size. So, yeah, and you're getting shooting long shots as long rebounds. But I'll go with this. Give me the timely rebounds. And so under that last 2 minutes when they finally tightened it up and said, hold on, man, we're Colorado. You're University of Maryland. We ain't losing to these dudes. That's what we did years ago with Dave Robinson. Big Dave, he was becoming the Admiral, Hall of Famer Dave Robinson, where Maryland played. But it's like, look, Maryland basketball and Navy basketball, he's an all-time great, but we ain't losing to y'all. Nah, you ain't getting us.
Absolutely.
So I think that's what – it was timely rebounding in that last possession. And they did everything they had to do, and then you got a pro in Queen who really is now a historic – player for the Terps. Give them all the praise.
Legend.
Yeah, the one thing I will never forget is that the building erupted. You see a big three go down, and they didn't flinch. They went right down and made the play. Adrian, you're as Coach Thompson would say, simply one of the best. Thank you for sharing with us, my brother, and just enjoy the ride, and hopefully we'll be talking about this again next week.
Anytime. Listen, you guys are awesome. Thanks for having me. It's amazing, Doc. Hey, Ben, you are awesome, man. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Appreciate it. Thank you, man.
You got it. And we couldn't be happier to bring it to you. One of the best, as we say, Adrian Branch, brought to you courtesy of the Rude Guest Hotline, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We go to break. We're coming back. We're cranking it up. Some round ball, some Commanders talk. Some NBA. We're going to do all that we can do, Ben, to tear the house down. Stay with us. Oh, Ben, Bama and the Terps getting it done on campus. And, man, Ty just hit a 83-80. I mean, you clinch, man. Can you believe all the action we have?
Oh, man. Sarah Tibiasu, game tying three. I mean, we're just spoiled right now, Doc.
No, we are. I'm really getting into this to the point that we are doing big things, big shots, you know, catch and shoot, tying it up. Man, I have to pinch myself. And see, not only with the Commanders that have lifted that that dark cloud over us, but, man, we locals, you know, getting it done, and we had a lot of success throughout the Metroplex, you know, in hoops. And this is a good vibe, man. Really, really good vibe.
It feels
David
good
Aldridge
to win.
To join us, huh?
It feels good to win, Doc. That's really the bottom line.
It does. I was talking with Ben Standig earlier today and just talking about because he's one of the guys, anybody that's covered the football team full time. I mean, that's like been in the past, it's been a burden. Now it's a thrill. Ben's mock draft, the first round of Ben Standick's mock draft, will be delivered to us at 8 o'clock. And we'll get into that, of course, the podcast Last Man Standick and the man on The Athletic. So we'll have Aldridge Standick. We had AB with us. You know, and it's just fun. Also, I have to shout out to Bob Carpenter. I mean, I love that. See you later. And, you know, all good things come to an end. But announcing this going forward, you know, 20th season, love the broadcast team. They were not, exposed Grant and Danny. They did an outstanding job with Toby Altizer, the youngest in charge. And a little rainout action today. Didn't get a chance to go with the O's. But all this thing, everything just working for us. And now we're getting ready for baseball.
You bring up a good point, Doc. And, you know, I'm a young guy. You know, you were couldn't believe.
Well, I tell you what, you're right now in consideration. Your name has been put on the ballot.
Okay.
It's a prestigious award.
I know.
Lonell Willingham, the founder, did a magnificent job in it. Toby Altizer, and now here you come in as a pup, 21, and staking a claim and building a resume. And that's what it's about. It's highly competitive. They're not giving it up. You know, I think Lonell will be 50, and he'll still be saying he's youngest in charge. But I love the big fella, and I know he is just salivating over all this ball going on. It's just a great time of the year, and we're fortunate. We know now to never take winning for granted.
Absolutely. I was loser my whole life watching football in this town, and losing in a lot of different ways, not just football always, and got that first taste of winning the Stanley Cup in 2018, I was like, oh, man, I could get used to this. And then I get it again a year later with the Nationals. Mm-hmm. We get so close this year with our Washington Commanders. It feels like the breakthrough is coming again for this town, because there's no better place than our nation's capital when things are rolling on the diamond, on the hardwood, on the ice, on the gridiron. Things are just good when the sports teams are doing well, wouldn't you say, Doc?
Well, yeah, look, I'm closer to 100 than I am 25, and it matters, man. Right now, it's establishing in your roots. It's becoming a part of your DNA, because I think it has a carryover. It's contagious, and you start thinking like that. You expect it. There's nothing wrong with having high expectations. That's what I missed most, that we stopped expecting to win. And look, the NIL, all this is never going backwards. It's going to find a way to still, it's challenging, it's competitive. And, you know, we talked a little bit about it over the weekend. I mean, some of the best contests, I mean, I'm still looking the way Creighton started in that first half. They just happen to be matched up against some savages, I'm telling you. But that's what this tournament's all about. You know, and if you are that team and you've got ballers, they're going to eventually come up. But some of the challenges, I know a lot of people have been talking about, we're not getting the little team from the north that comes out of nowhere. Well, you know what? But we're getting good ball all the way across the board. And big shots and big plays. And so when they say a favorite, well, okay, that's the person's opinion. But that's determined on the floor. I still think UConn's effort, man, that was fantastic. It wasn't like it was taken from it.
I picked them to
win. I don't
know
where you stand on it. I think they gave it away.
They did.
More than
they
it
had
was
them.
Taken from them.
They had the Gators. They had them out of the water.
Had a shot. Yeah, had a shot.
But
what more do you want?
I think Florida showed some of its vulnerability. I think if Maryland plays its best basketball, I mean, we've known Maryland is a great basketball team. If they play its best brand on any given night, they can beat anybody.
But the formula, and they are a team that you got to play from your neck up.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be so smart because we know that kryptonite would be for any one of the Crab Five to get in foul trouble.
Absolutely. And we'd seen
and the
that.
Two bigs in particular. And, you know, we talked about it. I say there's a difference between being tall and being playing big. And so what Reese was able to do, and the big fella, they got down the paint and made some plays. You know, rebounding is important and getting the second shots back up on the glass. And, you know, the guards are going to be guards, but you're not going to win without them. And Maryland has every one of those boxes checked. But it's going to be the guys who make shots, contested shots, and then defend. What has been the one theme that I've seen that's gone over throughout this whole tournament? I've heard more discussion about, and correct me if I'm wrong, defense.
Yeah, that's been the theme of Maryland the past 2 years. Since Kevin Willard came to this program, I think everyone knew what he did at Seton Hall, that his teams are very sound defensively. They forced a ton of turnovers last year. They couldn't shoot the dang basketball. This year, you get real shooters on the basketball team that can score, but it's the defense that wins you the games. Finally, in those last 2.5 minutes or so, as we just touched on with Adrian, they started locking down. They started getting stops. They started getting big rebounds. Yeah, they gave up a three-pointer there at the end, but then, of course, you got your freshman star,
yeah,
Terp legend
the guy,
already.
The best shooter they had. That was a boo-boo.
Hey, Doc, we got to take time here to really give Julian Reese a lot of credit because, yeah, we've already talked enough about, you know, what he's meant to this program. He's been here for 4 years, which seems like a rarity now in college basketball. He survived Turgeon getting fired, didn't transfer after a rough season last year with Willard. And the biggest problem with his game, really the past 3 years, was his inability to get it done from the free throw line. Yesterday, he hits the two biggest free throws of the game, and he hits a short little jump hook. He raised his free throw percentage by over 20 points this year. I got to commend him for what he's done because he really improved his game every year.
Yeah, and, you know, demeanor has a lot. The one thing about these two bigs is their demeanor. I mean, both guys have a really low pulse. You know, they're not overly emotional. They're not dead, but they don't get overwhelmed by it. And for the freshman, that's the amazing thing. I expect it out of Reese. But baby boy, I mean, this dude. And I loved it at the end when he said from Baltimore. I love that connection because that's an advantage for the University of Maryland.
You said,
I mean, we already know with the DMV, and I know G from the shop and the fellas that's in the water. I get all that. But it's that pride that extends itself, you know, with hoops, you know, in Baltimore. And that's where the University of Maryland, I mean, that's supposed to be your turf. And even going back, we talked about the coach, you know, making the statements about what he was concerned about, and it wasn't a negative. And the love they have for him, for Willard, that's important. It's important, man. Coaches have different styles. They have just different approaches. But are you effective in it? And I love it. And, of course, you know, Rodney Rice, love Gillespie. These guards, man. Miguel. What is there not to like?
I mean, there's just so much confidence on the floor. You kind of segued us perfectly, Doc, because I think I want to play the audio for this audience. Derek Queen.
Catching up
with our guy, Andy Katz, after the game, after he hits the shot of his life. Man, he cements himself as a Terp legend. And what does he have to say? Well, he says this.
There was a timeout. You said, I'm not going to say the full thing, but you said, get me the ball when he came out of the timeout. Where does that confidence come from?
I mean, so I think I'm from Baltimore, that's why. And then I kind of had it going all game. Me and my teammates had it going. And like I said, like they trusted me to take that last shot.
Man. You got to just love the confidence on him. He's 20 years old, a freshman, saying that the teammates himself or themselves had the confidence in the youngest player on the team to take that shot at the end. And I'll get more into this a little bit later, probably.
And
but
a finesse shot. He didn't power him down. He didn't back him down. He didn't do a Shaq, back him down, tear the rim off with a dunk. I mean, he went straight skill set.
And that's just what he does. That's who he is.
I don't even want to project the future. And I know he's smart. He's got to make the economic move. I get all of that. But my goodness, 250 plus feet, hands, that athleticism, that's the part that is frightening about this young man's ability to be a playmaker. And then he also let's not forget the SWAT, the Bill Russell SWAT that he had on the other end.
That was massive.
I mean, that was as important as the score, him scoring. And again, that's why I'm saying the emphasis now, this defensive guys are not just mailing it in. They're committed to it, you know, and getting the job done. So I really, what was there one game other than the Terrapins, obviously, as for those of you keeping score, 92-88, Lady Terps doing what we expect to be done. Of all the games that went down outside of the Terrapins game, was anything that really got you going?
At this moment?
Oh, over the weekend.
Over the
what
weekend.
What we saw.
I loved watching the Gonzaga-Houston game. I knew that one was going to be close, and Houston was pretty much in control until the last five or so minutes, but there was Gonzaga. They never go away easy.
They never do.
They never, never do, and they made it a sweat. UConn made it a sweat. I think the second round was a lot better than the first round for me personally. How about you?
Yeah, I'll go with that. It's the level of competition, man, and guys being pressed. I know nobody likes to say a lot of really good things about Duke for whatever reason, but it's impressive.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're not giving any pub. We're not just always just Duke. No, dog. They earn this. I mean, it's a high level of basketball being played. And when you see these guys that, how do you get to be that good, that young? This kid was going up against the Olympics. He's playing against grown behind men. And he's fluid, he's long. I mean, what's his weakness?
I don't see any. It's yet to be seen. His talent is unparalleled in what he can do, and he is going to make an instant impact in the NBA, which is pretty ridiculous to say about freshman player. You don't see too many prototypical guys that come out of their first year and you're confident he's already going to elevate a team to another level.
Yeah, and that's why I thought it was interesting. Tony Massenburg joined us over the weekend and just talking about, because he's been there, done that transition of going from the collegiate game to the pro game. And we're looking at our, you know, Wizards and the development of our pups. And it's been positive. And seeing guys taking steps. Now, you do have to at some point discount the wins and losses and not get frustrated by it, but are you seeing development? And I think that's all anybody can expect, is to see the development. I really, really, really did not. I slept on BYU.
I did as well.
That's just bad me. I should have recognized. Because in the NIL world and movement, they're not going to have any problem with resources. And that's what it's coming down to now. And that's the one thing that the Terps have got to get that war chest going. It's going to be all about, once this is all said and done, it's going to be interesting as to what the theme is. What are we talking about? What is the emphasis? How do we keep this thing going? And then who's next? Because there's never a shortage of talent. The key is keeping that talent in the DMV, keeping that talent, you know, home. And that's the crazy part about this. And I just love the fact that men's and women's, that we're in the mix. And this thing's going down now in seconds. And hopefully we can close this bad boy out. And then we can go to break and take a deep breath as the Lady Terps up 95-93, keeping hope alive. DOC and Big Ben keeping it going here on Overtime. 1-800-636-1067 is our number. Talking some hoops. There's a lot going on. We will get to Ben Standing's mock draft at 8 o'clock. The Dean of All Sports, David Aldridge, 7:30, will join us. And we allow you to join us as well and let it all hang out. If you can't shout out now, then you never will. Back in a moment. One 800 636 1067 is the number. And Jonesy joins us coming out of the block. What's up, K9?
Hey, what's going on, Doc? Man, look. That boy, Patrick Queen, the buzzer beater came back. I ain't mad at him. In Baltimore, they asked him, hey, what made you do this? He said, hey, man, from Baltimore. He's just straight up with it. I mean, you know, no antics, no magic tricks, no stuff. I'm just letting you know where I'm from. This is what we do on the blacktop in the hood all the time. It's basically putting your hands out. But I like it, man. I don't have no heart, no dog in the race, but I'm pulling for Maryland. I'm pulling for him. You know, I'm more hometown than anything, but I'm going with Maryland. Going with Maryland. They made it to the Sweet 16, you know, after that thing they pulled off on Colorado State, because it's usually they normally get hold. But then again, you know, there's no fun when the rabbit got the gun. The Maryland is normally the rabbit.
Yeah. Hey, no dispute on my end, my friend. Exactly. No dispute whatsoever. I'm just glad that we are upbeat and we're talking about winning. And, of course, the Capitals. We've got to make sure in every other breath I have to give some love out to the Capitals. And it's not only the chase for Ovi and the record, but how about being, you know, and not that the chase, the President's Cup and all that. We've been there before. I've had a traumatic experience once upon a time at the arena when they had won that, but just being good and being having a level of excellence. Carberry has set that table. Yep.
Yep. Relevant. Yeah. Being relevant is
now we're in the mix. Yeah. We're in the mix.
And I love it.
Appreciate the phone call, dog. Appreciate the phone call. And we just love being in the mix. I'm going to get really used to this, Ben. And then I'm going to get really, really arrogant, because if we start pulling these things off in volume again, and it's ironic that Kansas City Chiefs and UConn were going for three-peats. I was trying to think, when's the last time we had two teams or whomever, people going for three-peats in sport, various sports?
Hold on. I was watching the end of this game.
Oh, come on, man. Have faith. Dude, you're going to jinx them.
Did they just draw a foul?
You're going to jinx them. Terps up by two. But I just, and the way it went down for the Chiefs and UConn, and that's a weight on players, on an organization. It's exhausting to win. And to win in tournament play that long, and my goodness.
Let me say one thing about this whole thing. Yeah, I think they fouled on the three there, but I lost my train of thought because
you know what? We should be better off going to break on that.
You're right about that, Doc.
Before I lose my consciousness, because if she fouled her on a three, being up by three right now, I'm gonna have to scream.
All right,
but then again, free throws aren't automatic, so we'll wait and see. DOC, and you can tell right now that we're engaged in this, Ben, because Ben's a Terp. And the voice of Maryland Terrapins, and he's going to be making a road trip going out to see the Terps. And as they continue to defy the odds, man, and it's David versus Goliath, but we look like Goliath, and that's the thing I like about it. Stay with us more on Overtime. DOC, Ben Strober. Behind the microphone, and we are honored to bring on the Dean of All Sports, courtesy of the Rude Guest Hotline, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. David Aldridge is back with us, and DA, we're going to lean on you, dog, because you got that thing called experience. And I just wonder, the Crab 5 at the shot. Where does all that rank with you when you go through your volume of seeing and experiencing big plays during March?
Man, it was great. I was thinking about Drew Nicholas's shot back in the day, you know, that Maryland, you know, I thought about that. But, yeah, I mean, considering time, score, situation, I mean, it's right up there, man. It's right up there with the biggest, most important tournament shots for a local team to make, you know, that you can think of over the last three or four decades. I mean, the kid, I love the kid. Give me the ball. I'm from Baltimore. I love it, man. Like, I love kids like that aren't afraid. They'll ride or die with their ability and their talent. And he did, and made an incredible shot. That is a really hard shot he made. Like, that's a really difficult shot, especially for a big man. And just showed the confidence level that he had, that he would figure it out, find a way to put the ball in the basket because you had to have it. And you want great players do that. You want to be around guys like that, and he showed it, man.
I'm looking at Flag and at Duke and the incredible guys with length, but he's 250.
Yeah.
And I think the thing about it that blew me away was how athletic this guy is, that shot-making ability. One thing, if he backed it down in the paint and dunked,
right.
Okay. No, dude. This dude went, I don't know if you call it Euro, I don't know what you call it,
right.
But he was a strider, but he got it up and caromed. I don't know if you could script it better.
No. I mean, you're not expecting him to do that, right? You're expecting him catch, square up, maybe he shoots a foul line jumper or something like that, or, like you said, maybe he backs the guy down. But he knows if I back down that they're going to bring the double. We don't have enough time. There's only 6 seconds left, right? I can't pass it out. I can't throw a grenade to somebody and have them launch a three at the buzzer that they haven't been prepared for. So he just said, again, put it in my hands. Give me the rock. And I will figure out a way to get this ball in the basket. And that's, you know, great players do not get sped up. They see how much time they have, and they go, okay, this is what I can do in the time I have. And clearly he saw the clock and said, all right, this is what I can get to. I can get to my left. I can get downhill. But again, to have to – look, he got in the paint, but to be able to make that shot, you know, it's just – it was remarkable, man. Like, that's just a level of not just talent but maturity to be able to say, I can do this. I'm capable of doing this. And I know he was at Mount Ver with Flag and all those guys last year. I get it. Like, he's a blue chip player for a reason, right? Like, he's a blue chip prospect. He will be a mid to high lottery pick right now. Like, he is somewhere between, if you said it's between 6 and 12, I go, yeah, probably, right? You know, somewhere in there. Like, he's made himself into a legit lottery pick. He's been sensational this year for them.
Talking here of David Aldridge. And, David, you and I, we both DMV guys, and one thing that we've seen as a problem with Maryland athletics, basketball, football, is it's been tough to keep some of this rich talent that we have in this area home. Queen stays home, and he has an all-time moment. The hometown kid sends the team to the Sweet 16. What do you think this means for the program, kind of showcasing you can be the hometown guy, you can be a hero in your own city?
Well, I mean, I think the hometown thing is great, and it's, you know, it's all we all like when the hometown guys stay home and play well and play great for their school. But, you know, the thing that, again, the reality is he's a blue chipper. He could be a blue chipper from Mars. I don't care. You know, like, he's a blue chip player that came to Maryland. And I think that's what Kevin Willard was talking about. Like, I can get guys like that now. This wasn't no fluke, okay? But I need the infrastructure in place to assure that I can do this every year and can continue to do this. And that's what he was talking about, you know, when he talked about the situation with his contract and all the things that he wants in his contract. Like, but he can get guys this good to come to Maryland and play here, and it's great. I think it's great. I have no problem with Kevin putting it out there, putting it on blast. Like, this is big boy basketball. You know, y'all in or out. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
like
we
can't be messing
like
around
that
with this thing.
Yeah, we haven't heard it like that.
Yeah, I don't mind it, Doc. I don't mind it at all, because this is the reality. You want me to win in a Power 5? This is what I need. Now, you going to give it to me or not? Now, if you don't want to give it to me, fine. I got options. You know what I'm saying? Like, but if I want to stay here, but you got to give me what I need. And
wasn't
that's
part
the reality
of the reason of going to the Big Ten was the big
purse?
Exactly.
Well, you know, like, Look, I'm not mad at Maryland for doing it. I think, it hurt a lot of people, a lot of alums. It hurt a lot of sports, hurt women's sports. There were consequences to it. But I get why they did it, right? Okay? It was financially, they could not turn down the money they're getting. And not just from sports, from non-sports money that you get out of the Big Ten. There's a lot of money you get out of tech and other things by being in the Big Ten. A lot of stuff that they have going on. A lot of research money that you get by being in the Big Ten, right? So, okay, I get it, understand it. But you can't then put your head in the sand when your head basketball coach says, all right, it's time for y'all got to ante up now. Now, this is for real now. I'm going against the biggest of the big. I'm going against Izzo. I'm going against Michigan. I'm going against, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going against, now I'm going against UCLA. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going against real programs with real traditions. You know, and so y'all serious or not? Like, you got to be serious to play at this level. And I don't mind him saying it. I don't mind. I prefer honesty, Doc. I prefer honesty in all things. Whatever you decide to do is your business, but you got to be honest about why you're deciding to do it. And whether that applies to owners of sports teams, it applies to colleges, you know, it applies to presidents. Be honest about what you're doing. Tell me the truth, you know. And I can live with the truth. I may not like it, but I can live with it. But be honest with me about it.
David, this perfectly brings me into my next point I wanted to bring up with you, the conversation that we're having. They're going to lose Queen to the draft. Reese, obviously, graduating. Miguel will be gone. Based on what's happened with the program, how confident are you Willard's going to be able to replace those guys in a quick turnaround? Because the portal just opened today, I believe.
Again, if he has the resources, he can replace them. He showed you he can get them. He can get them. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like he's struggling to get real talent to come to Maryland. Like, he's not. He's getting real players to come there. So, again, if he has the resources, he can go get – he won't get every blue-chip recruit or every five-star that's in the portal, no. But he'll get enough of them that Maryland can be at a very high Sweet 16 or better level. I don't have any doubt about that. He's a really good coach, you know, like, so I just think Maryland, like, to me – what are we doing, guys? We doing this for real or not? You know, like, it's you know, Locks has done everything he can football-wise. There's a limit. There's just a limit. You know what I mean? Like, as much as he's done, he's brought in a whole bunch of really good recruits. A lot of guys go to the NFL. And you still got to beat Michigan, and you still got to beat Ohio State. It's really hard to do that every year. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, and Penn State. And don't forget Penn State.
And Penn State. It's really hard. You know? Like, and so you need the resources to be able to do that on a regular basis. And if you're not going to provide it for the football coach, you damn sure better provide it for the basketball coach. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, pick one, but you got to be excellent in something. If you're going to be in the Big Ten, in big boy athletics. And I know, and I've written this, Maryland's been great in soccer. They've been great in, you know, all kinds of different sports where they won national championships. I'm not in lacrosse. I'm not begrudging that. They've been excellent in a lot of different sports in the Big Ten. So you can do that, but I think most of your alums are interested in two sports, I think, in most schools. Most of your alums who care about two sports. And maybe LSU cares about baseball. Maybe they do. You know, there's some schools that care about baseball at that level.
Yeah, they do.
They go to the College World Series every year and sell the place out. I get it. Mm-hmm. You know, but most schools, football and basketball. Pretty simple.
I'm a Terp, David, so you're not wrong. You're hitting it right on the nail.
Yeah. Who has anybody surprised you to still standing right now amongst the Blue Bloods?
Not really, because it's been pretty chalky, you know, this year. There haven't been all that many upsets, really. So all of the schools that I thought were going to be – I mean, I'm a little surprised St. John's went out early. A little, but not a ton because they can't shoot. Like, you do have to shoot in this game. Like, you do have to be able to make shots in order to win, especially against good teams, you know, that put pressure on you. Like,
yeah,
and their
3-17,
inability.
I just couldn't believe it. I thought it was like, 9% from the 3-point strike. I'm going, yeah, but we knew coming in, that they that weren't. I just thought it was the way it was handled.
That was their Achilles heel. I was surprised that, again, it caught them this early, but I'm not surprised they went out early, if that makes sense. Because, you know, you just can't keep grinding out wins by depending on your defense all the time to win your games. Like, there's too many teams that can make shots now. There's too many schools that emphasize the three now. So when you play against a school that can make some threes, you're in trouble. You know, like, you get in trouble. Like, and if you can't come back, like, in today's era of basketball, being down 12 ain't no big deal to most teams, because most teams can make a bunch of threes and get back in the game.
Yeah.
They can't.
Well, especially if you got the Big East, you got the player of the year.
Yeah, yeah. And he had a bad game. That happens. You know, like, yeah. It happens.
But being
like
denied 5 minutes of play,
yeah.
I mean, thumbs up or thumbs down on it.
That's a choice. I wouldn't have done it. You know, I wouldn't have done it. Yeah. Now, Rick Pitino's won about 900 more games than I have. I get that.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I understand that. But I think you go down with your best guy shooting the gun. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to live with it. If he goes 3 for 17, then you got to go 3 for 25 then, the boss, because we need you. You know,
yeah, but could it be anything, something that we don't, haven't
maybe
touched?
Maybe. Could be. It could be. I don't know. It could be.
Yeah.
Why did Butch Van Breidekoff keep Wilt Chamberlain on the bench the last 5 minutes of Game 7 of the 1969 Finals? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought
if anybody knew, I figured we'd ask you, and if not,
I don't have both feet in college basketball, Doc, so I don't, I'm not following the ins and outs of the St. John's program. I didn't watch it from tip, like y'all are.
Yeah.
It just
I didn't watch it from
to
tip
me.
To gun, so I thought maybe I missed something. Maybe he had a moment that he said something to him. It was almost personal.
Yeah, I mean, it was odd that you would leave, take your best player out and take him, you know, when you're, it's the game's not lost yet, you know, like, he kind of pointed to, you know, he was 3 for 17. He had a bad game. I get that.
Yeah,
I get that.
But that's not, the game's not over.
But, and his presence on the floor.
Right.
You still have to account for him if you're the other team.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to let him have a wide open three. You know what I mean? Like, you still got to guard him. And that creates opportunities for other people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Will we see this again, David? Chiefs were going for a three-peat. UConn was going for a three-peat. With the way things are divided up now, the money, and everybody seems to have a Hercules in their group, will we see that again?
A three-peat? I don't think
so.
It's just too hard, man. You got, especially in college when guys can leave, guys take NIL money and bounce, and I'm not mad at them. Take all the money you want. You know, if you earned it, you know, that's the life choice. I'm not mad at that. That's on college basketball to figure out what to do about that. That's not on the kids.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't been paid for years. They deserve to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not mad at them for taking the money, but it makes it impossible, I think, to keep a team together for more than 1 or 2 years at that level, at the Power 5 level, Power 4 level. It's really hard to keep a team together with difference-making talent because the talent is so spread out now because so many teams can buy players. It makes it really hard. And you saw the Chiefs, it was as good organization as you can be in terms of everything, the way they do everything.
They were shelling themselves.
And
they got slaughtered.
They got slaughtered.
UConn had a shot. But 3 minutes
I mean?
Ago,
like,
they were up. They had a shot.
Yeah, no. That was what my boy say, a down-home Mississippi kind of butt-whipping. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that was a no-doubter. This is really hard, man. The other teams get paid, too. You know, you have to explain this to people sometimes. The other kids want to win, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, so they try to win, too. And so sometimes they're better than you on a given day. And so to be the best 3 years in a row at anything, any type of team sport, I think is really, really hard in this day and age.
Like how you brought up the chalkiness of the bracket this year. And not to say there hasn't been great basketball. Maybe there hasn't been as many upsets in years past, but... Do you think this is going to be a new trend with NIL and money? Are we not going to see the same level of upsets in the tournament?
Well, what scares you about that, to your question, is, you know, we all love the mid-majors. That's why people watch the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
They want to see UMBC with a senior point guard, you know, that has
George
experience.
Mason.
It comes from a great program.
Yeah.
They went to DeMassa. You know what I'm saying? They want a player like that can beat UVA because he's good enough to beat UVA. But the problem is that level of player isn't at UMBC much anymore because all the blue bloods buy him up.
Yeah.
You know, and so now there's just way less chance that a mid-major or a low-major school that used to have four or five seniors on it that have been playing together for 4 years, and maybe one of them is a guy that's really good or can shoot or post up or block shots or something, you could be competitive with a Duke. You know, we played in the tournament. We lost to the Mount. Our best player got hurt 3 minutes into the game. Mm-hmm. The Mount played great. They played great against us.
Mm-hmm.
They went and played Duke. No shot.
Oh,
and by the way, if we had played Duke, no shot. You know what I mean? No chance.
Right,
zero
right.
chance that you're going to beat Duke. They're too good.
Yeah.
And you don't have the horses. You know. And I think the division between the haves and the have-nots is going to only get wider.
It's expanding.
Because
yeah.
now you got more. It's not enough, apparently, that 14 teams from the SEC made the tournament this year. The SEC wants all of its teams to be in the tournament, apparently. You know, like, I just think the disparity is going to get even wider, unfortunately, because I think it destroys a strong word. It harms March Madness. March Madness is about those upsets on Thursday and Friday that people still talk about 20 years from now, 20 years later, you know.
Yeah.
And that's why we love the tournament, because everybody has a shot. You know, when AU first made the tournament in 2008, we played Tennessee. Tennessee was a five mm-hmm. seed. Tennessee was ranked fifth in the country, I should say. They were a three seed. We were a 14th. And we had a kid named Garrison Carr that scored 28 points against them because Garrison Carr could get buckets against anybody, including the fifth ranked team in the country. And that's what I'm talking about. Like, we had a player like that on our team. Mm-hmm. Who was good enough to score 28 in the tournament against the fifth-ranked team in the country.
Mm.
And I don't know that you're going to see that much anymore going forward.
No, I think you're right. But maybe the upside to it is, I mean, it's watching the level of competition. I mean, I was watching, you know, Creighton the other night for the first half, and they couldn't sustain it against Auburn. But that first half was one of the best halves that I've seen this season.
Right. Right.
It was exhilarating seeing it, but
no,
they couldn't hold up.
There's still great basketball. I mean, the Maryland game was great last night. There have been three or four really, really good competitive games. You know, it just is elite team against elite team, Power 5 versus Power 5, which is not bad. I'm not saying it's a bad thing because the games were still good. But it's not, to me, it's not the same as that, you know, 12 seed making the Sweet 16 that people, you know, are like, wow, that's amazing. That's great that they did that. This is great that what's my man that made it a couple years ago? St. Peter's made it. You know what I mean? Like, got on a run there. That's great.
Yeah.
Like, people remember that, right? That's part of what makes the tournament great. People are always going to remember UMBC beating UVA, beating Virginia. Always. Forever.
Yeah. Forever.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's why the tournament's great to me, because everybody can access it. Even the 16th seed can dream about it because UMBC did it. You know what I mean? And so if you take that away, then it's just like those preseason tournaments that they play in the Bahamas, and it's just all Power 5 schools playing each other. It doesn't mean the games aren't good, but you don't get hyped up for the Atlantis tournament. You know what I mean? Like, you don't get hyped up for that. You watch it, but you don't remember it. You know what I mean? And I think you're getting more. We may be going towards more of that in the tournament, which I think would be bad for college basketball.
Well, it's going to be interesting, and we sure appreciate you taking time out. You're working, and you come out and give Ben and I a boost, and we appreciate that. And can't wait to see what happens, man. I'm looking forward to the weekend. I'm looking forward to this momentum going, and shout out to the Lady Terps. They were victorious.
Well, they came back
at home,
and won.
That's a good thing.
No, that was another rock fight today. I know.
Yeah, man, went to overtime. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good for them. Good for Coach. That's good. That's a great. That's a good win for them, because they were life and death with Norfolk State too the other day. So I mean, you know, this tournament, you know, it's tough. It's hard to win. You know, it's hard. Got good teams out here.
Good for the viewers. Well, your colleague Ben Standing is going to join us next. We'll give you regards. He told me to give you a shout out.
Absolutely.
David, you're priceless. Thank you. Appreciate
you. Anytime, guys. My pleasure.
All right.
pleasure.
courtesy of the Rude Guest Hotline, David Aldridge, his coach, would say, simply one of the best. We take a break. We come back. Top of the hour. I know some of you pigskin fanatics, your arms are shaking. You're going, can we get a little bit of pigskin in this thing? Yeah, we will. Ben Standing's mock draft, the whole first round, coming to you when we come back to overtime.